The views and opinions that are expressed on the Dope Sessions podcast are that of the hosts and do not reflect any views of any other attached entities. Now that we got that out of the way, let's go. Introducing your hosts. The guys on the mics with the voices that you like. Give it up for Kelvy and Tree.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Thank y'all again for tuning in to another episode of one of the dopest indie podcasts on the planet, the Dope Sessions podcast with Kelvy and Tree. Tree's not with us today. Hopefully, he'll either jump in, you know, a little later or whatever. But, man, we got a guest today. Well, not even a guest, man. This dude is family. But, like, you know, for those that don't know, if y'all haven't seen or listened to the podcast before, I actually had this gentleman on the podcast during the pandemic. You know, we was all inside, you know, especially all the indie artists and stuff. We was all inside, but we just had some fun and had fun conversations. And I tell you what, man, ever since that, like, this dude has just been working and working and working and working. I'm seeing stuff drop left and right. I'm seeing singles, I'm seeing EPs and albums and all this other stuff, man. But we just got some new stuff about with him, man, and just like big him up. And I want to, you know, let everybody know what he's doing now, because you everywhere, man. So, like, ladies and gentlemen, like, Callum B is back on the pod, man. What's up, bro?
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, man.
Oh, no problem, man.
Touching my soul with that little intro, making me feel special.
Right.
But no, I appreciate it, and you know, shout out to you. You know, like you said, you've been doing this since the pandemic. I hopped on then. You're still doing it. I love the longevity that you have created for this project, and you know, congrats to you too, bro.
Oh man, thank you, man. I really, really do appreciate that, man. Like, man, dude, it's been a while, man. But again, man, I'm just glad that you back, man, and we can chop it up, man. I'm glad you back, dog.
No, I appreciate the invite. You know, I always got time for the fam.
Man, dude, so really, man, I think I just, so pretty much like during the pandemic, after the pandemic, you know, you've been dropping songs, man. And I let our listeners know, man, like at some point, me and you were going to do a couple of tracks together. We just haven't been able to do it yet, but you know, it'll happen. You know, it's all about timing and everything like that, man. But I want to know from you, man. Like, so when did, cause like I said, you got a couple things like moving, not just with your own stuff, but you got Otaku Underworld, Callum B in the Hive. So
yeah.
So I want to talk about Otaku Underworld. I want to know when that started, and I also want to talk about you guys at Nerdcore Days, because you got to chop it up with some of my
yes,
friends.
Sir.
Shout out to our fam, the Microphone Misfits, man.
Loved those dudes, man.
Yeah, man. And it was funny because D-Nick hit me up, and you know, cause they you know, he showed me the lineup, and he was like, man, he said, have you ever heard of World? And I said, yeah. I said, that's I said, you remember my guy Callan? I interviewed him on the pod and stuff. He was like, oh, he was like, yeah, I remember doing it. And I was like, and I said, you know, I said, of course, Peace King, he, I believe he's a part of it as well, but, you know, me and Peace and Austin did an episode where we reviewed the Midwest Anime EP that Microphone Misfits dropped. So I had them on the podcast. So it was full circle, like, kind of moment, man. Just
it was a Twilight Zone moment,
right? It was like, just like, yeah, us being able to chop it up, and then like and then y'all chopping it up with the Microphone Misfits, man. So like, how did Otaku Underworlds like come to fruition?
So do you know Otaku God?
Yeah.
He's one of the hometown homies. He and me and him, we used to just kick it heavy when I had that studio downtown that I was working or like running, you know, and I would throw shows there and stuff. And Otaku was basically kind of a partner on that with me, and we were just there working constantly all the time. And he was like huge into Twitter, and I'd really taken a step back from Twitter. I was more Instagram. But he just was always talking about Twitter. He's like, we need to be on Twitter. We need to be on Twitter. And this man somehow, like, through the Twitter depths, just, like, assembled mutuals, which are just, you know, people you follow on Twitter that you relate to and you interact with and stuff. And he had assembled, like, so many mutuals that were also artists and kind of on the same wave. And at some point, I guess he had built enough relationships that he wanted to create a group chat. And I just remember him like running in the studio one night, and he's like, bro, put Otaku Underworld hashtag in your bio. Like, it's just about to go crazy. And I was like, all right, yeah, sure, whatever. And then he made the group chat, and I started like interacting with a lot of the dudes in Underworld and like kind of, you know, building a relationship with them, but I didn't like jump in the group chat or like join immediately, even though I kind of joined like originally, because I was like there when he thought of the idea and like wanted to do it, but I hadn't like officially claimed it or whatever. I was kind of still like dead set on just like GYB only at the moment. But right around when Corona hit, there's so much shit just changed, man. That was probably like the kickoff to really everything. The Hive really came to fruition during COVID, and that was when I joined Otaku Underworld. When COVID hit, I was just kind of like, you know what, like, or it might have been right before COVID, but it was right in that time. I remember the day that I joined, and it was just like, you know what, let's get it.
Yeah. Oh, man, dude. It's so funny that you mentioned that, man. Just because we kind of touched it a little bit during COVID, but, like, you know, you had connected in this chat with the guys, and, you know, and that's where, you know, I got to, you know, to get to know you more, because when I was living in Paducah, you know, I heard of you. I would see you a couple of times. We saw each other. We was always cool with each other. It was just, you know, we just didn't get enough time to, like, actually, like, pick each other's brains and, like, know each other. But because of the connections that we made on this chat, that's how I got to meet Austin and Peace King and Jaren and a couple of other like dope individuals. Also Professor X. And because I got to meet all you, like, Professor X is part of the Lo-Fi Collective. And
yeah, I saw that. I dropped a song with him recently.
Yeah, man. That's my bro, man. And
I met him at Disney World.
Man, dude, it's like, it, because of that, it was like we were able to like still like, you know, listen to each other's stuff, critique each other's stuff, being able to just like, you know, just, you know, communicate and just like start stuff together, man. And it just, It was a lot of that stuff, man, was just like, you know, being able to be in that space, man, was just, it was, I loved it, man. And I'm glad that, you know, that helped you, you know, not only with the Hive, but also with Otaku Underworld, man. So you were saying that not only did that happen with Otaku Underworld, but the Hive as well. Was the Hive just like this thing of just like want to just have like just a band, like that band feel type of thing? Like what was in your mind? What was the process of that?
Basically, just like, I mean, you know the kind of area we live in. They're not the fastest to jump on the hip hop wagon. I've been trying to get shows and like booked at events, and I've been applying at festivals, and it's just like nobody would give me the time of day because we were just like a DJ, MC act, you know?
Right.
So through my good friend Shelby Preckless, ESP Loud and Clear Studios, I had been working with him a lot and just like booking time at that studio and then bringing in like a different musician every time I worked in the studio.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to get more involved with like my production and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like really wanting to produce and like bring in musicians and do live instruments and shit like that. So I was just experimenting a lot with that. Shelby passed the word on and like vouched for me and then got me a slot at the Yachtoberfest festival that they threw, the one with Nappy Roots.
Yeah.
So they asked me to perform at it he vouched for me, threw me the referral, and then I talked to, you know, the good people that ran that festival, shout out to them, and they let me get a slot, and I just thought, I was like, you know what, like, I want to really blow them away, like, I have this platform now, and I want to make sure, like, they're gonna remember me, I'm not just gonna be, like, that dude that rapped, like, they're gonna know that this was legendary.
Right.
So I just called, like, all those musicians that I just, like, happened to have been working with at the time, and I was just like, yo, like, how would y'all feel if we just got together, we put together something real sick, and just, like, rocked out one show, and... So we just started practicing. We linked up, we started practicing real heavy, and we were just like, it was just a vibe. I don't know. We just had fun. I'd never done anything like that before.
Right.
And everyone in the band have all been in a million bands, you know?
Right.
This was my first experience with that, but it was just so much fun. But then unfortunately COVID hit like a couple months into practicing and canceled the festival. So we were just like, oh, you know what? Like whatever. So we didn't practice for a long time, but then we just still kind of all kept in touch and like talked. And eventually we were like, you know what? Like we should jam, like miss that vibe. So like, like we just started working again and just practicing and writing and just doing shit, and then sure enough, as things kind of cleared up, the festival ended up getting planned again, and they rebooked us this time with Nappy Roots on the bill, so it was better.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so like they weren't on there the first time, or at least I don't think so, anyways.
Right.
But yeah, they were this time, and I was like, oh, that's great. So
right.
but we did the show, we rocked it out, and, you know, from there, we were just kind of like, you know, what do we want to do? Are we done now or not? And everyone enjoyed it and kind of believed in the project at that point, and we just kind of wanted to see where it went, and we became the Hive. It was not long after that, you know, a few more shows in, that we were just kind of getting really set.
Oh yeah, that's what's up, man. And I know that you, y'all actually like just dropped y'all first song a couple of days ago, man.
Yeah. So now that you know the story, we kind of went about it really backwards. We just started getting booked for so many shows, and you know, with that many people, and everybody is adults, you know, they got kids, they got jobs, really, you know, our weekly band practice, the fact that we have all cleared out a couple hours on every Monday is just like a miracle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know, but yeah, we, but with that being said, we, no one has like a lot of time to really do much, so we've just been practicing, rehearsing, and we've had a couple band members have to leave just due to, you know, personal reasons. Never know bad blood or bad vibes.
Right.
But some of them just couldn't make the full-time commitment due to, you know, life. So yeah, we've had new members come in and out. We've had a lot of things change over time. So it's just always been kind of a constant grind to practice.
Right, right.
But we have also worked on music a lot in the meantime, too. And I'm just starting to kind of get that together now. My dog's in the background trying to play. Oh, but yeah, we finally, after about a year and a half of performing regularly, we have released a music video.
Yeah. Man, so let's talk about the Hive, Hive Mind. So just talk about the song, what you wanted to like express with the song, and are you guys in the process of like actually working on a full length? Where are you guys at in this process?
I teased the idea of an EP and an album. And we certainly have enough music backlogged that's just like rough cuts and drafts and everything to make an album. But I think I've decided right now, the Hive Mind was actually supposed to be an EP or an album. I don't know, some sort of project. But I decided against it. I decided to make it. It's just a single. And the intro to that was Hive Mind, because I just, the song I released, because I felt like that was just like, it was just sounded like an intro song to me. When I made it, my thought was like introduction.
Right. Okay.
And so I still felt it was appropriate to release as our first song. Me and my roommate, Hush, we were just my homie, we were just chilling, and yeah, we were like, let's just shoot a spontaneous little music video real quick. So I was like, you know what, let's do Hive Mind. So we just like, we shot that just really random, but my whole concept behind it was, like I said, an intro, and I just kind of wanted to demonstrate, I just wanted to demonstrate like some wordplay basically. And I wanted to make it kind of in the vibe of like what the Hive Mind is. And that's like conscious. And so, you know, you'll notice some lines like busy bee dissonance in there. And, you know, I'm just making slight references to things that are like Hive Mind related and collective conscience related. And I just wanted to demonstrate above all just the wordplay and the lyricism that I'm capable of.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, end it with, you know, some guitar solo and some DJ scratches, which is just like part of the band shining.
Right. That's what's up, man. The I dig the song, man. Like I really do, man. If you guys drop more songs or even an EP or an album, I'm gonna be the first one to listen to it, man. I mess with your music anyway, man. But I was listening to your EP Buzzin', man.
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's my shit too, man, for real. It's fucking dope, man. We were talking about nerdcore, but I want to bring it back to nerdcore days, because this is something that, you know, Otaku Underworld got to do. What was that process like for getting into nerdcore days, and you know what? What did you guys, how did you guys feel being around, you know, being in Austin and being, you know, just around other nerdcore artists, and just y'all performing on stage. Cause I know, I don't know how many times you guys got to actually like be together on stage, but how is that feeling? And just talk about it.
That was great. That was actually our second time. We got to do San Japan, but it was they're all intertwined. We met the Nerdcore Day homies, DJ Rockman, shout out to him. We met him at MomoCon. Me, Slick, and some of the other just underworld representatives, we just kind of made the decision last year that we were going to start popping out. Like, we wanted to perform. We wanted to be more than just YouTube influencers. Right. So we vowed to start popping out. It functions. And we went to MomoCon in Atlanta. And we just ended up, meeting. Mission success.
Right.
We went to the bar because I can be a bit of an alcoholic when I'm out of town sometimes.
Right.
The bar at the convention, though. But yeah, I drug everyone to the bar. I was like, no, we're getting a drink, or I'm getting a drink, and you're going to stand in line with me. Because none of them are really that big of drinkers. But right. While we were standing in line, we turned around, lo and behold, Richie Branson and Mega Ran. Two people you definitely want to see in line randomly.
Right.
So, yeah, we just talked to them the whole time. Ended up, we waited in line, and the bar closed, like, right when we got there. So we were like, screw it, let's go out to eat. So we went back to their hotel, and we went out to eat. And we just talked to them for hours, man. And just, we talked about music. We talked about nerdcore. We talked about careers, longevity in this industry. They gave advice and shared inspiration, and it was a great dinner for sure. It was like the dinner with Jay-Z or I mean, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
But no, DJ Rockman, actually he extended the invitation that night for South by Southwest. He was like, hey, we're putting together this event. Like, if y'all are really wanting to get out there like that, cause it wasn't like we were strangers. They knew who we were kind of like,
right.
just from online. But the thing about popping out and, having that one-on-one with someone in person, it goes a lot farther and faster.
Right. Yeah.
So he invited us to the event then. But ended up reaching out beforehand and inviting us to stay in Japan, which was last September.
Right.
And that was in, not Austin, Texas, but San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we went out there and we performed for the first time. It was great. And the South by Southwest Nerdcore Days event was just like, it was even better. It was just fantastic. And then we also got to have Rumble World out there with us, which is basically like the brother collective to Otaku Underworld, and that's actually the collective Peace King is in.
Right. Yeah.
So he got to be there with us too and perform for. Like his first time with his collective, but that feeling is legendary. I've performed my whole life. Performing with the band is next level.
Right.
But they're all different feelings that can't be compared, because it's one thing to just like make music with like somebody for. I mean, I've known these guys for like 3 years now. Like,
right.
Or maybe more, 4 years maybe, but. To know these people, some of them only online, and then to link up with them, and then the next thing we do is hit a stage together. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty legendary feeling, you know what I mean? Like, you talk to somebody every day, and then to finally meet them, and then rock a stage out with them for your first time, and for people to, they come up to you, and they're like, assume we all live in the same city and that we can just practice constantly and you know, they don't realize that, like, no, we, some of us just met.
right.
So yeah, it was great, dude. It was some of the best times of my life, honestly. You know?
That's what's up, man. Like, what advice do you give? Because I'm, and forgive me if I'm wrong. You can let me know if I'm wrong on this one, but it seems like when it comes to like Otaku Underworld and Rumble World, you're the most like seasoned performer.
Yeah, no, definitely I am.
So what advice do you give your guys or even Rumble World when it comes to just performing on stage? What advice do you give them?
First and foremost is just know your lyrics and rehearse. You know, you ain't got to hit every word, but just rehearse it. Even if you're rapping with a backing track, just at least know the material good enough that you don't get up there and have those moments of just like puzzledness.
Right.
You know what I mean? So just being rehearsed so that the performance looks well, yeah, is like a big thing. So I would just always encourage everyone, like, you know, I know nobody wants to sit in their room and rap and practice by themselves, but like, you gotta do that shit.
Yeah.
Do that shit. Go take a walk with your headphones in, practice that shit. The, you know, other things I encourage is like, we would do something where we would decide like what songs we were all performing, and then we would make a playlist of it. And you know, the whole week that we chilling, we bumping that playlist, we riding around listening to that playlist, I'm listening to that playlist, like we're all listening to the playlist alone, so we know each other's songs and we can hype each other up, be hype men.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's really just being comfortable and for sure on stage with the whole performance and what's going to happen, like start to finish in it. Nobody up there looking like they don't know what's happening.
Right.
Which everyone did a great job at that too, because how can you just not have fun when six of your best friends are up there with you?
Right. Yeah, man. Oh, dude, here's something else. So the one thing, just going back to nerdcore days, like when I found out that you guys were gonna be there and that the Microphone Misfits was gonna be there, like I told Dean, I said, hey man, like I said, you know, I told, cause I asked you, I said, man, you know, I got some fellas, some of my homeboys in this group, they gonna be up there. And But I told D-Nick, I said, hey, man, chop it up with them, man. Just cause, you know, because I know, like, people will talk, but because I know D-Nick and I know the Microphone Misfits, I know that, you know, they would give you some, like, very, very, like, really good, like, advice. And they would sit down and talk with you guys and just, you know, just to help you out, help you learn some things that can help you guys grow and stuff like that. And you know, and I'm glad that they actually did that with you guys. Let's talk about that whole, like, not only y'all performing, but seeing everybody else perform. Did that also give you guys like the confidence to be like, yeah, we definitely gotta keep doing this shit. Like, we definitely gotta keep hitting up these stages.
Yeah, no, definitely. The Microphone Misfits, especially, like, you can just tell their whole set is just planned, rehearsed, and all of them know it front to back.
Yeah.
Like, they are very seasoned performers with their set, and especially as a group, from the dance moves to the ad-libbing and the way the hype men back them up and shit, like, That shit's really cool, and you know that I'm a sucker for the old school vibe. They definitely have that vibe and that feel of some shit that I love and that inspires me. I pulled some inspiration because I have been performing my whole life, but I've been a solo artist my whole life, so performing with the group is different. So I definitely pulled some ideas and some inspiration from watching their performance that I'm going to share and try to pass on just the next time around. And hopefully we can actually get it practiced.
I'll say this too, because you brought it up with Microphone Misfits. When they did Anime Midwest, D-Nick was like, he called me up and he was like, "Hey man, would you want to go to Anime Midwest to cover the Microphone Misfits for your podcast?" And I was like, "Yeah, hell yeah, you know, of course I would, you know." And so, and I remember when we first started covering them, one of the things that we did was we actually went to, they have a place out here on the west side of Chicago where called the Firehouse, where they actually, like, you know, rehearse and stuff. And so we got to, like, you know, get some filming of some of their stuff for their rehearsals. But no, they do, man. And the one thing that you hit on the head with them is, like, I think they're one of the best, like, performers in this game. You know, they can perform their ass off.
Respect to them.
Yeah. And one thing that I did see, because D-Nick did let me, he gave me a link to Nerdcore Day, so I got to see some of the performances, but, like, I want to know if, I'm pretty sure for the fellas, they felt like charged and energized and all of that stuff. But from your standpoint, when someone like Richie Branson gets on stage and basically says that Otaku Underworld and Rumble World, y'all next, y'all the ones, like, y'all the ones, like, how, like, when you hear some shit like that, it's like, yo. Now it's like, okay, it's like, now it's like, not that the heat is on y'all, but it's on y'all, because now you got Richie Branson saying y'all the next stuff, you know. So
how did my first initial thought is I need to throw that in the intro of a song.
Right.
can't ever turn off the rapper brain.
Right.
Ooh, that'd be a great intro.
right.
Nah, man, the feeling like that is crazy, because Richie Branson, like I said, man, he really helped along with a lot of those guys at the Nerdcore days. Like, they paved the way for us to be in this position and to be able to do this and give us the potential opportunity where we can make a living off of this. Like, they really helped pave that way and lay the stepping stones for us. Right. So if anybody knows, you know, what it takes and, like, what the requirements are to be in that position, it is Richie Branson. So if he sees that in us, like, it's very reassuring. And I wouldn't even say the pressure is on, because there's no pressure. It just lets us know that, like, we're doing what we need to do. We're rubbing elbows with the right people.
Right.
And just, like, we're just working and just having fun. That's all. Like,
right.
It's, yeah, we started Otaku Underworld to get together and just, like, to just talk about anime, video games. Like, I don't know if the intention was ever to take it where it has now, where it is gone, but the feeling and the vibe has not changed. You know, it's still about having fun and just making the music that we're happy with and that we can share with each other and enjoy. Like, I'm still making music thinking, like, what are the homies going to think about this, not what the fan base is going to think, you know?
Right. So, yeah, what I wanted to do now is, like, get into, like, a question, the music stuff. So, like, when me and you met, right, I, you know, we talk about music, we talk about anime. What about, like, doing, I guess, nerdcore anime rap was, like, what was the thing that, like, really pulled you in into that, to that genre, to that world?
Well, I already loved it, and I've been a big anime fan for a while, and had already just been dropping hints of it in my music just anyways. Mm-hmm. And so to then realize that there's just like a whole community that's existed this whole time that I didn't even know about that fuses two of my favorite things in the world, anime and rap music.
Right.
Like, that's a no-brainer. I want to play with them. Like,
right.
And on top of that, like, I've just realized over time that the nerdcore community, you know, say what you want about it, there is no community that is drama free. But a lot of the people I've met in that community have been more than willing to help, to lend a hand. Richie Branson doesn't owe me anything. He's a developer for Fortnite. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I have his number, and I could call him right now if I needed to, and he would probably talk to me.
Right.
And that's just the kind of character that this community is filled with. And, you know, Megaran is a touring, successful artist. He doesn't have to do anything, but he's helping me, and he's working with me to help us get more shows for Otaku Underworld and a lot of these other nerdcore artists that people that are very successful in the genre, like Game Boy Jones, you know, him too. Like, he didn't know me. Well, he does now, but like, he didn't know me at first, but I remember just messaging him the first time and introducing myself and him responding and being cool. Like, and that just doesn't happen. Like, some of these dudes are doing more numbers than famous people.
Right.
And like, they're not going to give you the time of day.
Right. Right.
So it just really goes to show you, like I said, the character of the types of people that do exist in this community, and they're all more than willing and happy to extend a hand to us and Otaku Underworld. And everyone was so great just that whole week to both Rumble World and Otaku Underworld.
Right.
We're grateful. So upon the vibes and then just the mutual interests of what we all like there's no way I could not be in this community.
Right. Man, that's dope, man. So because I'll be upfront, like when I first heard of nerdcore and I would hear like certain artists, I wasn't really vibing with it. I wasn't really into it. I was just like, it's kind of, I don't know. It was something that I just wasn't clicking with. But then, like, listening to like you know, the Microphone Misfits and you, Underworld and Otaku God and Rumble World and Megaran, and so I felt like there was this thing where, and I'll be honest, there's a thing where I feel like you guys are better spitters than some of the other ones that I've heard. and so, because to me, it's like, I don't mind what kind of thing that you do when it comes to like, whether it's conscious hip hop or nerdcore hip hop. I still want to be able to vibe with the music. I want to be able to like vibe or, you know, with the, you know, with everything with it, whether, you know, you're talking about a subject that I don't really know about, but it's like I may not, I don't know anything about Dungeons and Dragons, but if somebody's talking and rapping about Dungeons and Dragons and they spitting, and I'm just like, okay, I'm with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like, thanks.
So like, what could you tell our listeners about whether it is like nerdcore or chiptune or anime rap or whatever, that just like, this is what I think you should listen to.
Well, just with nerdcore, it's just like any genre. There's subgenres embedded within it. Not all nerdcore sounds the same, obviously. And, you know, throughout rap, we have auto-tune rap, we got boom bap, we got trap. You know, there's just so many. That applies to nerdcore, too.
Right.
And the difference, you know, that you were mentioning of, that some of them might not vibe with you, as well, and it's because, you know, you got people like us from Otaku Underworld that come from backgrounds of hip-hop, Microphone Misfits that come from backgrounds of hip-hop, and they just happen to like anime and nerdcore. But then you got people that only know nerdcore, they don't know hip-hop. So there's a different feeling in that style of music. And not saying that you know, the latter of nerdcore that I mentioned isn't still good music. They just have their market and their fan base. And I mean, Mega Ran just literally made a kids album,
right?
Like he just made a children's album. People know their markets, and I'm not saying this is all they're capable of, but it's like, you know, I've seen Dan Bull, who's a very successful and popular nerdcore artist, make like Minecraft raps and stuff. Like he's tailoring that to a certain audience, and a lot of these people will do that.
Right.
And it's because that's what they're aiming for and that's what they want to do. But, you know, some of us are aiming to still resonate with that hip hop audience. So a lot of times, you know, like, so there's a Naruto rap where somebody's rapping from the perspective of Naruto. And then there's a Naruto rap where someone's just using metaphors that may relate to Naruto, or like, we're rapping about a real life situation that sort of resonates with the show.
Right.
So that's kind of like what we try to practice. Like, we want to rap about anime, but we want to be a little more subtle with it. You may not hear a mention of the anime at all, but if you think of the show or you pair the show with the AMV and watch what's going on in the anime while listening, you make the correlations. And
right.
See how it's considered like an anime rap, but at the same time, like, we want to make it relatable to the people that aren't familiar with the show and
right.
don't watch anime.
Right.
I've had plenty of people tell me they like the song, but I know that they don't like anime, you know, or
right.
they say they related to it.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I'll say, man, because, I'm glad that y'all like, you guys that I mentioned, you guys do it in such a different way, and you're absolutely right, because you guys are there are some certain people that listen to nerdcore who are not necessarily steeped into hip hop, and since you guys are, I'm glad that, you know, you guys are doing this steeped in hip hop. But like, the one thing that I would say, like, when I first started listening to like anime rap, like, I would hear people always say the whole, like, I'm going Super Saiyan like Goku, and I'm like, okay, well, how many times
can right.
you go Super Saiyan like Goku? But like, you know, but I get it, you know what I'm saying? And so, but yeah, man, so what other than, like, you know, getting hopping on more stages with Otaku Underwear, are there plans for like an album or anything else within the faction? Like, what's the next plans for you guys?
I don't foresee any albums coming from Hive, me, or Otaku Underworld anytime soon. Only singles, but we definitely have plans and are going to start working on official Otaku Underworld singles, though.
Oh, okay.
So there will be collab efforts and projects, but a whole album it's not gonna happen. The only way that that's going to happen is if one day we can just like go to an Airbnb for a week and just only cook. You know what I'm saying? No
Right.
shows, no work, no nothing. We showed up with the mission to make the album. That's the only way that's gonna happen. Just
Right.
online is too impersonal.
Right. Okay. No, that's real, man.
But
That's
also
real.
just the climate of today's industry, I'm just like, kudos to anyone that wants to make an album. I love albums. I would prefer to make albums, but it's just not that world anymore. And
Right.
I didn't start seeing the success or like the progress that I'm having until I kind of dropped the whole like album mindset, and I just
Right.
kind of started going with singles.
Oh man. And see, this is what I want to talk about too, because even with Lo-Fi Collective, it's like when we dropped our album Beautiful Distraction, we were kind of still in the we were still in the pandemic, so it was like, okay, let's drop an album because people want to, people got want to listen to albums at this time, but this time now, it's like, it is that question, like, well, are people really still listening to albums? And because of the attention span of some music, it's like, maybe the route is just dropping singles, And so, but I get you, man, because it's just like if we're gonna do an album together, it is like one of those things where it's just like you gotta lock in. Let's get together. Let's lock in. Let's do this. And because
Yeah.
everybody is so split up, just like with your crew, with my crew, everybody's so split up, it's like the closest thing you might get now is either singles or maybe an EP,
Yeah,
but mostly
it's
singles. And what you said was just like actually true. There seems to be more movement from like the listeners when you're just dropping singles. So
Yeah.
it's almost like you don't even have to drop an album. You're just dropping these singles, and there's more movement with that. And people get to put it on their playlist and all of that stuff, so they can listen to it from time to time, and that's easier for y'all, because whenever y'all link up again, you guys can perform all these damn songs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man, this is the new. It's hard enough to even get people to listen, period. And they get overwhelmed easy, especially new listeners. I've seen it happen so many times. People are just way more likely to listen to a single. If you put one song in front of their face and tell them to listen versus will you check out my whole album, you're 99.9% gonna get like a
Right.
better response or a reaction, or to get them to actually listen.
Right, definitely. And don't get me wrong, man, like cuz I'm with you all the way. Like, I love albums.
I love albums.
I love albums. I just got to listen to the new Danny Brown and JPEG
Oh,
Mafia
man.
album, and I
That's
fucking
legendary.
Oh my God, I love that album. And I was just talking to my nephew, Aaron, and he's in Lo-Fi Collective as well. Like, we were talking about that album earlier. But it's like, man, it's like that's, but almost like with albums, it has to be a certain album or something that'd be like, okay, well, I'll listen to this album. But usually, like, I'm always making playlists or I'm just listening to random songs, you know, like.
Well, the thing is, too, I mean, JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown both almost have 2 million monthly listeners.
Right.
So, I mean, if you can drop an album when you're at a certain point in your career and people are going to listen, but, you know, if you don't have a fan base, who are you making the album for is what right. I would ask you to ask yourself. And if it's for yourself and you want to do that, good. You know, that's great. Do that for yourself. But if your intention is to build your music career and, you know, try to progress a fan base, then you're only hurting yourself. I've worked a whole year on an album to release it and it to flop, and then spent the whole next year making another album and lost all the progress that I made with the first one just to drop the next one and it flopped. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just not the same world anymore. I used to sell CDs out the trunk and, like, that shit was just different. You know what I mean?
Right.
The selling CDs era was different. Not to be that guy, like, but it's just the facts. I quit selling CDs because they're just not it anymore.
Right.
But ever since I dropped the album mentality and just started releasing the singles, though, I've been able to retain a fan base and keep listeners and just have more to work with. I just have so much more content to post and to share and to perform, and just I don't have to worry about that album being my only content for a year.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Man, dude, so check this out, man. In the spirit of just like us talking, you know, talking a little bit about anime, what are some of your favorite anime, man? And I asked this because there was a list that came out by IndieWire about the they had this list of the best animated series of all time. And
oh wow.
And some of the anime that I saw on here, it's like their list starts out from 70 to 1, right? And a lot of the anime I saw was either in like maybe the 20s or like in the 30s or something like that. And I was kind of upset. and I tell you why. I was upset because I was just like, huh. After I saw like some of the other shows, I was like, so wait a minute. That's before that and that's before. I don't know. But, you know, I ain't got no stake in the game because I didn't make the list. But, like, what's some of your favorite, like, anime that you've watched or you just, like, or just your favorite in general, or the ones that you, like, can go back to, even though you've watched it all, you can always go back to it.
One of my all-time favorite animes to this day, and the one I will typically suggest to people to watch for first-time viewers, is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yeah.
That's just a really good one. It always hit home for me. On top of that,
you know, I always tell people either Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood or I'll say Ghost in the Shell. Those are like the ones that I always tell people to start off with.
Yeah, I love Ghost in the Shell. That's a really good one too.
Yeah.
On top of that, though, like some of my personal favorites, and a lot of people probably may or may not have seen them, but Erased is one of my favorites. It's like kind of a slice of life mystery. Monster, which is like a psychological horror anime. It used to be really popular in like the 90s or maybe the early 2000s. I don't even know the year I watched it later,
right.
But it ended up being one of my favorites. I love Made in Abyss, Puella, Madoka Magica is one of my all-time favorites. ReZero, Steins Gate. I pushed the Steins Gate agenda. Future Diary. I love Future Diary. I'm a sucker for animes that deal with time travel and all alternate dimensions.
right.
Samurai Champloo. That's the most hip hop anime if I've ever seen one.
Yeah,
love that one.
That's one of my favorites too. That and of course Cowboy Bebop is like.
Yeah, love Cowboy Bebop. I enjoyed the Netflix show for what it was worth.
Right.
Let's see. What's another one I really like? You know, Kill la Kill, Gurren Lagann. Those are really good ones. Inuyashiki, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, I love.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the current ones I'm watching, like Boruto, Attack on Titan, One Piece. Like, I'm caught up in those. Shit. The new Bleach episodes were legendary.
Right. That's the one I haven't watched yet. But everybody tells me that Bleach is dope, so I'm gonna watch that soon.
Bleach is probably my personal favorite out of the big three.
Right.
It's just like, I don't know, something about it. The character design and just like the style of Bleach. It's just like, it's cool. It's really cool to me. But I love One Piece too, Black Clover.
Yeah. Black Clover is dope. I'm pretty sure you've seen Black Lagoon, right?
Yeah, little Revy.
Yeah.
Like Revy. Yeah, I like Black Lagoon. I've been laying off. I'm into Vinland Saga right now, the new Trigun. I haven't been watching as much anime as I used to. It used to be like, I'd binge it all the time, but I've been gaming a lot more lately. It kind of seems like I always teeter between the two.
Right.
I either game and don't watch anime, or I'm either watching anime and not gaming.
Right. Oh man. Yeah, man. Stuff and the ones I haven't seen, I'm gonna definitely like try to get up on some stuff, because I know like the kids that I work with at my job, they love anime. So I'll sit with them and talk about anime. And they're just like, so like, Mr. Kelvin, you ain't never seen Dragon Ball Z. Like, no.
You've never seen Dragon Ball Z?
He sounds just like that, but no, I've never watched Dragon Ball Z.
That's crazy.
And that's funny, I mean, that's because that seems to be like everybody's like gateway drug is Dragon Ball Z. But like, I like my first like anime experience when I was a kid was like Lupin the Third and Speed Racer and Gatchaman. And so those were like the ones that I kind of started off with. Like Voltron was part of that too.
Yeah, same.
And then to anime, it was more of like
Naruto.
Yeah, Naruto, Cowboy Bebop, Ghost in the Shell, Vampire Hunter D. So I never like really got. I keep saying I'm going to watch it, but it's like, you know, I think. You know, like you know how like when people say, everybody says that this one thing is good, and you're just like, is it really? But like, well, I'm gonna eventually watch it.
It's definitely good, but it is a journey. It's a journey for sure. I would probably recommend watching Kai, Dragon Ball Z Kai.
Right.
But you definitely have to start with the original though, Dragon Ball.
Right. Yeah.
it's good. It's definitely a good show. I started with it in like Yu Yu Hakusho and, you know, a lot of the ones you said, Speed Racer, Voltron.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But that's definitely not one I would recommend to new anime watchers.
Right.
Like a lot of people do. That's a big argument right now, actually, is like the last thing you should suggest to people to watch for their first anime is something like Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, or Naruto, because they're just way too long and overwhelming and they move very slow.
Right.
I feel like nowadays, like I said, people are so, the short attention span, that's why all shows that drop nowadays are 12 episodes, 24 yeah. episodes. They keep them short because they know. So animes well, you know like what? That are really tough.
I just remembered another anime that I remember like that I saw like back in the day. I think it was called Wicked City. That was,
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, Wicked City, and there's another one called
I don't think I've seen that one either.
So those are the ones that I remember, like, starting off with. And then, like I said, once I got back into anime, then, you know, I had mentioned, you know, going to Anime Midwest and covering for Microphone Misfits. But I would always see these people in, like, the same, like, cosplay. And I'm just like, what is that? And this one girl, she was just like, she said, it's a show called Demon Slayer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a really popular one right yeah. now. And Chainsaw Man, you'll see both of those at every
yeah, time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was so many people dressed like from Dragon Slayer, so Demon Slayer. And so I remember like right after I covered Anime Midwest, I went right into just like watching Demon Slayer because I was like, let me see what this is about. And I like Demon Slayer, you know, but I was just like, you know how like there's the ones you be like, I can see why everybody like it, you know, like
yeah, it's not my favorite either. I definitely see why everybody likes it though.
Right.
It's just a good classic shonen, you know.
Right. No, definitely, man. So what's next for you, man? Like any more singles dropping soon? I know.
Oh yeah.
So in the house, I'm still be performing as well, right?
Yeah, we had a show on this previous Friday in Illinois, in Carbondale, and I have a show, just a solo show, this coming Friday, so just lots of shows lined up. Yeah, I'm still dropping a song every week, weekly drops on Fridays.
Right.
I'm going to start trying to do a Hive song at least like once a month. On top of that, Otaku Underworld, we are planning our summer tour. We have a tour that we're setting up in July. We'll be going through some of the Midwest and some of like the Southeast Coast, I guess.
Right.
We're going to like North Carolina, basically.
Oh, okay.
Around in that area. But yeah, we have tour plan, and on top of that, man, just staying on the grind and the hustle and just expanding this any and every way we can.
Right.
Just further the sphere of influence.
Right. Man, dude, Callum, man, thank you again for coming to the pod, man. I really appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, bro, it's no problem. I appreciate you having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Tell everybody where they can listen to all your stuff, where they can see videos, where they your socials and all of that, man.
So, it's pretty easy. Everything, I made it universal for you guys. Just Callon B. C-A-L-L-O-N and B. If you Google that, everything will pop up. But you can find me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, all major platforms, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the socials. Like I try to cover all bases for everyone. So, definitely look me up. We got the new song by Callum in the Hive, the very first official drop. Definitely peep that music video on my Callum B YouTube channel. And yeah, that's it. Just look out for my new song coming this Friday.
yeah, no doubt, man. And I'll be looking forward to hearing that song, man. And we definitely got to keep up with each other, man. And we definitely got to rock a song out of something, man.
Yeah, no, definitely. We got to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man. And thank y'all again for tuning in to another episode of the Dope Sessions Podcast, man. We'll see y'all next time, man. Peace.
Peace.